Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Melissa. I know she said, I'm not Mike, and she's not Mike. Pastor Mike Bowie's taking a well-deserved break today, and we're like, what are we going to do about worship? And for those of you who don't know, Melissa is our own Beth Manis' sister. So Pastor Gene and Beth reached out to Melissa, and she made her services available, and we thank her so much for that. And if you enjoyed listening to her, she's going to be back a little later on, so you're going to get to hear a little bit more about her. We do welcome you to St. Charles River Church. This is going to be, hopefully, our last broadcast where we are empty. The plan is to be back, have the doors open next Sunday, so we pray that you are that things go well and that you prepare yourselves for that and come back and join us as we actually meet together again. But this is so much about what 2020 has been about. And I pray, you know, as we just got through Christmas, the other day, Christmases were so different for families this year than what they've been in the past. But I hope that all in all, you had a very Merry Christmas. I'm supporting a shirt that my mother-in-law gave me, which is why I'm wearing it, because she gave it to me and said I needed to wear it. It's called the Sermonator, so we'll see if that holds true today. But we are looking forward to really getting into God's Word. And as we get into God's Word, you know, typically what we do at the end of the year is we do a wrap-up of what happened throughout the year. I have a 11-year-old granddaughter that lives with me, who many of you know if you're watching. She's just so precious. She means so much to us, and we love having her around. But if you've raised daughters before, and I did in a previous life, you know that when they get to this age of 10, 11, 12, 13, you start dealing with some mood swings. Amen. I just heard an amen from the booth back there. Bella's no different. And the thing about these, it's like being on a ride. It's like being on a roller coaster. And not so much just even a roller coaster. I would compare it more to Space Mountain. If you've been to Space Mountain, because you're in the dark, so you don't know when those dips, those curves, those elevations are coming. It just comes out of the blue, and it happens like that in an instant. And I have actually looked at Carmen before, and I said, I want off this ride. I want off this ride. I really don't. Like I said, we love having her around. But that's what it's like. And that's what 2020 has been like this year. It's been a roller coaster. You have no idea what's coming, when it's coming. 2020, the year of the great toilet paper search. Who saw that coming, huh? Where there would be boards created, posts created, so people could track and find out where they can go get toilet paper and where they can get paper towels, because you couldn't find them. They were clearing off the shelves. They have the limit, the number that you can buy. Who saw that coming in 2020? And as much as it impacted our families, and actually I would say some of the impact was for the good, because it caused us, as we're going to talk about again, we talked about quieting down the noise. It caused families to actually draw closer together, because they couldn't have that helter-skelter life that they had before. I know especially early on, it was great that we were able to spend time as a family, playing games, eating at home more. It was great to be able to do that and actually spend time together. But it has been a crazy year, and it's been no different for the church. It has really been hard to try to find out how can we reach others when we're having to close our doors for a period of time. And that's what happened in March. We had to close the doors, which meant we had to find a way still to reach others. Pastor Jim Blue, who's a pastor at Sunrise Church here in O'Fallon, he sent an email out to his folks a couple weeks ago, and I loved what he said. He said, people ask him, when is the church going to open? And he said, the church has never been closed. The doors may have been closed, but the church is still going. The church is still open, and it's just trying to find a way to reach others. So we had to do what we're doing right now. Initially, what we did was, for a period of time, we did some recordings. We had the worship team would come in. They would record worship. Pastor Barry would come in. He would record a message. We had a great tech team, Pastor Gene, Beth, Travis, Chris Fox, Teresa, Pastor Mike with the worship. They would spend their time coming together throughout the week so that they could prepare a service to be broadcast on Sunday. That would be recorded. And this also provided an opportunity for other people to get involved who maybe were not being involved, had a chance previously. As an example, Pastor Gene and Beth's daughter, Mackenzie, she was a big part of what we were doing and being able to prepare recordings so that we could stream them on Sunday mornings. She would actually be up here recording. She would take the video. She would help prepare it. You would see scripture at the bottom. Mackenzie was the one doing that. She was putting that scripture references down there. We made sure that we found a way to get the message out. And then once we found out we had Sundays covered, we said, let's look at what are some other ways that we could continue to connect with other people. So a good friend of mine who I've mentioned many times, Pastor Troy Merciel from Washington, Missouri, I saw him do a Facebook Live devotional time with his church. I thought, what a great idea. I talked to Pastor Barry. I said, why don't we do something like that? And he goes, go for it. Run with it. So we started having devotionals on Thursday, which provided us another opportunity for teaching. It also provided folks an opportunity to get on and to actually connect with one another. It would be interactive. We would ask questions. People would answer questions. And it was a time to connect. And then we started building on that a little bit more. I know Pastor Pam had some Zoom meetings with the ladies. Everything we were doing was to try to find a way to connect. Pastor Jason with the children would put videos on the children's website so that they could watch those on Sunday mornings. And that's actually how what a lot of our Sunday mornings were. We would sit with Eli and Bella. We would watch the video that Pastor Jason had produced for the children. And then when that was over, we would watch the SCRC service. Just continuing to find ways to reach the others. Well, then, as we got into the summer, we were going to be able to come back in and have on-site services again, which meant we had to change a little bit of what we were doing. We had to adapt. We had to be able to live stream like we're doing today. We couldn't do a recording and then put it out there. We had to be able to go live on Sunday mornings. So the team, again, they put great work into being able to make happen what we're doing today. And once we got that down, then it's like, let's start gathering. Let's start doing some more gatherings. Small groups started gathering. Men and women's ministry started having events. We actually had our first baptism since we've moved into the new facility. Pastor Carl Thanen opened up his house, offered his swimming pool, and we had a great baptismal service. Just finding ways to continue to connect. The men in October, we had a last-minute scare. But we were able to do our retreat. We had an amazing retreat. Well, then as we came back, Pastor Barry had some back surgery. So that threw a little wrinkle into things. But as I've talked consistently here in these first few minutes, is we had to find a way to keep pressing on. And we did. We kept pressing on. However, COVID concerns started spiking again. And the leadership thought it would be wise and made the prudent choice to that for the holiday season, we needed to suspend the on-site meetings again, but continue to reach others, as we're doing right now with the live streaming. And what that allowed us to do was, even though we were having some impact in our initial desire when we moved here to reach O'Fallon, is we're able to extend our reach because of the online streaming and services we have available. In April, we had to cancel our mission trip to Panama. But we're still connecting with our folks in Panama today because this is available to them and they can share it with others. The devotionals we were doing, the Facebook Live that we're doing right now, people are able to share that with their friends and we are getting the message out. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at another group of people who had a challenge. And as they were facing a challenge, it's important to look at what their response was. How we respond to a challenge says so much about us. It talks about how our relationship with the Lord is. So we're going to look at a people who were faced with having their city attacked and overcome. And their response was to get on Facebook and to post something about it and be anxious about it. No, that wasn't it. Thus give me this weird look. What are you talking about? They didn't have Facebook back then. You're right. They did not do that. They didn't go onto social media and find things that would feed their fears. They didn't look at the latest news feed that they, you know, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, whatever you listen to. They didn't listen to that and have their fears fed. They didn't look for ways to bolster those fears or attack people who maybe were against what they believed. No, their response was to write a song. They wrote a song of worship to the Lord. And we're going to look at that song today in Psalm 46. And to give you some background, as I said, they were facing a challenging time. So this psalm was written in about 701 BC. And what's great about the Psalms is I think sometimes we just see that almost as like maybe a hymn book. Just a collection of songs that people put together. And we don't realize that a lot of the Psalms were written when the writers were going through some very challenging times, some eventful times in their life. And this Psalm was no different. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. The Assyrian Empire was growing at this time. And the Assyrians had their sights set on overtaking Jerusalem. If you need more background on this, you can go read 2 Kings chapter 19 or 2 Chronicles 32, and you get more information about what's taking place here. But it is against this backdrop that Psalm 46 was written. And so let's turn to Psalm 46, starting in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So they set the tone right away with verse 1, letting us know that God is our protector. And not only is he our protector, but he's there continuously. He's not just there temporarily, not just every once in a while. Maybe he might be there to help us. He is there continuously, ready to help us. And so the tone was set for the rest of the song. In verse 2 it says, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Adversity is set the doorstep, but they're looking at it, not in trembling, but they're looking at it, they're facing it with confidence that they can overcome because they have a Lord that will help them overcome. And it's so great to know that be able to go into a situation and to be confident as you're facing it and to not have fear and trepidation. I was thinking so a lot, a thing that I like to use a lot, as examples is the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and the movie Miracle. And many of you are, I'm sure, familiar with it. You know, it captures the American hockey team beating the Soviet Union in the Olympics. Major upset because the Soviets were the best hockey team in the world at that time. Amateur, pro, it didn't matter. They were the best. And just prior to the Olympics, the U.S. had had an exhibition game against the Soviets. And I love how they captured that in the movie Miracle, because you see the Soviet Union, they're coming in very strong. They have no worries. And you could tell the men from the U.S., the mostly college students, are a little afraid of what they're about to come into. And their center iceman, Mark Johnson, they get a great picture of him as he's skating up for that opening face-off. And you can just kind of see the fear in his eyes as he's getting ready to be a part of this game. And they lose that game rather convincingly. But then the Olympics happen. And the U.S. starts having great success in the Olympics. And people are starting to take notice of them. And then they come to this game against the Soviets in the medal round. they had a different attitude when they went into this game, starting with their coach giving his pregame speech when he tells them that they are the greatest hockey team in the world on that night and that that was their time to win the game. And so as they're marching out to the ice, you see a different team, one marching with confidence in the challenge that they were about to face. And then you get that same picture at the opening faceoff of Mark Johnson skating up, this time not fearful of what he was about to face, but coming into this game saying, not tonight, this is our game, this is our time. It is so great to have that confidence, and that's the confidence that the people of Judah had here when they say, let earthquakes come, let oceans roar, let mountains tremble. We have no fear because verse 1 says we have a God who is our refuge and our strength. And then there's in most of your Bibles you may see like a little break there, and you may see the word that says Selah or interlude. In my Bible it says interlude, a lot of them says Selah. What that is that's a pause, that's a break. It's a time for you to sit and reflect. And they insert it right here in this song that they are writing, thinking about what they just wrote about the confidence that they have in facing trials because of they have a God who is there with them. When the men had their, when we first started our men's ministry, we had an amazing retreat that we were part of with Grace Church in Maryland Heights. And when we came back from that retreat, right away we went into a book study on a book called No Matter the Cost. And in the middle of that book study, there was a session that said, Selah. It was a time for the men to pause. And what that pause was for them to think about what they had just read in the previous chapters and for them to start to develop their own story. And it was great timing for us because, as I said, we had just came off of that retreat where men were on a high, were really fed by God and really had a great experience. And so this time of pause allowed them to think back on that and to create their story, because it is so important for you to use your story when you connect with other people. And so it allowed men to write their story down, to share it with other men. Take a pause. Selah. And then this, it goes on in verse 4. A river brings great joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Back then, it just as it is today, many great cities were developed by being on waterways, being a port on a river. Our own St. Louis started because we were on the river there, on the Mississippi, so traders could come up and down the river and do business. And that allowed our city to grow. It was no different back then. The water from the rivers provided irrigation for agriculture, and people were able to go back and forth and do trade, and that helped build great cities. At this time, the biggest city was Nineveh. And we know a lot about Nineveh because in the story of Jonah, he was asked to go to Nineveh, and how was he going to get there? He was going to get there by boat. Of course, Jonah went the opposite direction initially, didn't he? But then he did come back around, and God sent him to Nineveh. But Nineveh was on a waterway. Many great cities were built being on waterways. However, Jerusalem did not have any such river to provide that. It was a great city, but they didn't have the waterway for commerce in that. But that didn't mean that there wasn't a river, and that's what they're saying in this verse here, because the river that they had was the river provided by God. God was the one who came in and was able to sustain them. So they didn't need a waterway, but God was bringing life. He was bringing protection to them. And it goes on in verse 6, says, the nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. We are in a time today where nations are crumbling all around us. Even strong nations, there's weaknesses in them. And part of that is because man is putting so much trust in man. We're not putting trust in God. We're putting trust in man to help us, to deliver us. And what happens is when that man fails, then our belief system fails, and then we become fearful of what's about to happen because the man failed and those kingdoms crumble. And then other men come in and try to build kingdoms up and those crumble. Man is putting trust in man. You must put your faith in God. Don't put your faith in man. And that's what they were writing here in this psalm. Verse 7 says, "The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress." Just another reminder to reinforce the notion that God is always there. And then there's another interlude, another Selah, another pause for them to think about what they had just written about, reflect, to think of this a time of reflection. And that's going to be important as we get into the latter parts here. Verse 8 says, "Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire." So not only is man temporary, the kingdom of man and following man temporary, all the things of this world that we have are temporary. And God holds power over them. And he is the one that is forever. You know, there's nothing, you know, you go out, you buy a nice car, and it lasts you for a few years, but then things start to break down, don't they? You have to put money into it. You have to repair it. Ultimately, the car, no matter how good the car is, ultimately, there can be no more done to it, and the car fails. A lot of the products that we buy today, quite honestly, are not made to last. They're made just to get you through for a period of time, and then you have to replace them. No greater example than our phones, I think. I mean, best throwing her hands up back there. You get that phone, and you pay for that phone over 2 years, and then you're hoping after 2 years you can use that phone a little longer. No. Typically, you got to go and you got to replace that phone then. Everything we have, and even if you're making a great investment in it, nothing is built to last. The things of the world are temporary, but not our Father, not God. And he's the one that holds the power over them, and he is the one that is forever. So as we think about knowing that God is our protector, he's always there. He gives comfort in challenging times. He is our sustainer. And he outlasts the temporary things of the world. He is preparing us for how to respond in times of trouble. And quite honestly, it is a response that we find difficult, and it's counter to the ways that we act. And it's summed up in the first two words of verse 10, where it says, "Be still. Be still." And so, Melissa, that was great, that song that you closed out with, just telling us to be quiet and to wait on God. And that's what the call is here, is to be still. But see, we don't like being still. We like to always be busy, always like to be moving. When we're with the kids, they're always, if they're not doing something for a period of more than 15 seconds, they're bored. They expect to be stimulated in some way. We expect to always be moving. We're in a microwave society. We want everything right away. I love the words of a song made popular by the group Queen back in the late 80s, and its lyrics that are so powerful that they get used in promoting products. And it says, "I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now. I cannot wait for it." One of my favorite movie scenes is from The Princess Bride, the sword fight on the Cliffs of Insanity between Inigo Montoya and the Dread Pirate Roberts. And Bess Becker chuckling now at me. And if you're not familiar with the movie, Inigo Montoya is up on top of the cliffs. He's waiting for the Dread Pirate Roberts to scale the cliff so they can have this duel. And he yells down, he goes, You don't think you could hurry up, do you? And Roberts looks up and goes, well, if you're in a big hurry, you could help me. And Montoya says, well, yeah, I could. I got some rope here I could throw down to you, but I don't think you're going to want my help because I'm only waiting to kill you. And Roberts goes, oh, that does put a damper on our relationship, doesn't it? You're just going to have to wait. And what does Inigo Montoya say? I hate waiting. That's the way we are today. We just hate waiting for things. We want it all, and we want it right now. And the Hebrew word for be still is rapha, which means to be quiet, to relax. And it can actually mean to cut yourself some slack, take a break, chill a little bit. But that's not the way we're wired. We're wired for instant satisfaction. Not only do we want satisfaction instantly, but as the verse goes on, it goes against us because we want control. It continues on in verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. We have a hard time waiting on God, though. In spite of all the promise that we have of how he is there to protect us, to lead us, we struggle waiting on him. Part of that is because we get impatient and we think we know the best way to do something. We think we know the right way. And even though our intentions can often be good, we don't always know the right way. So if you've ever seen the HBO documentary series, Band of Brothers, it talks about the men of Easy Company and the 101st Airborne and their involvement near the end of World War II, picking up with D-Day going through the end of the war. And it follows these men, and there's an episode late in the series where the war is ending in Germany. And so the men of Easy Company, they send a patrol group out, and they come across a concentration camp. The Germans had abandoned the camp, but they still left the prisoners in place with the gates closed. So as the men came across this camp, their hearts were broken for these prisoners. And they wanted to find a way immediately on how to help them. They wanted to get them freed. The prisoners, you know, were starved or emaciated. They needed food. They ran into town. They got as much food, as much water as they could get their hands on. And they brought it to the prisoners and started feeding it to them. Well, as this is taking place, and as the army becomes aware of the camp, they send some of the upper echelon there to take a look at the situation. And they brought a surgeon with them. And a surgeon sees these prisoners just devouring this food. And he says, you have to stop feeding them. Because their body is not used to taking in food like this. And they can literally eat themselves to death. So they thought they were doing something good by providing food for these prisoners was in fact dangerous to them because they didn't take the time to stop and think of what would be the right course of action. They just went into immediate action, and now what was the right thing to do at that time? And then it's a heartbreaking to see the man who's interpreting for the prisoners as he has to tell them to stop eating and that they have to take the food away from them. You see, they reacted not knowing what was best, but they thought they knew what was best. They thought we needed to get them food right away. Not that we need to take time, we need to feed them properly, we need to watch over them, and we need to see if there's sickness in them before we release them. But that's the way that we act, unfortunately, is we want to jump into action right away. We know best. And as this song was written, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 11. And they don't have that back there, but it says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Again, God is always there with you. It's a matter of you waiting on Him and allowing Him to move. As I said, you can go back and read this story in 2 Chronicles 32 and 2 Kings 19. But what you'll read is, because they waited, they allowed God to move. God sent a single angel down who killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Soldiers who were waiting outside the city of Jerusalem, waiting to attack. God sent a single angel to take care of them. That's how much God loves us. That's the power that God has. And that's the reason we need to be still. So I'm going to have Melissa come back up. We're going to close with a song. And what I'd ask you to do right now is to gather your family members who may be around you. I know this is difficult. One of the great things about what we've been able to do with the live streaming is sometimes when you're at home, it's easy to kind of be relaxed as you're watching service. I know back early in the spring and that when we were doing that, Carmen and I would sometimes sit out on our patio, drink coffee and watch church. So it's easy to get very relaxed, but what I want you to do right now is to bring some quiet, some stillness into your home as you're watching this. If you have children with you, bring them together. You know, Pastor Barry talked a couple weeks ago about how important it is to worship with our children and to invite them into that. And what we're going to do is we're closing out 2020 and heading into 2021. I would like to challenge you to make it your theme to be still. And when I say be still, that doesn't mean don't do anything. Sometimes we can kind of go the other way with that, and that's not what I mean. What I mean is to be still and know that He is God, and that you're being still and you're waiting on Him to lead you. And the song that Melissa's going to sing for us is a great reminder for us to just wait before we move to wait on God. So I just ask you to enter into a time of worship right now as Melissa sings this song.
In the place we met, we a single step till I hear your voice. I surrender and when my eyes cannot see, it's your voice that's leading me out of the darkness.
Open a path to your word, Lord, and to following your direction, the guidance that you have for us, and knowing that you are our protector, Lord, and that you're there always for us. And then when we're facing adversity and challenging times, Lord, that we can turn to you. We don't have to go searching for you. You're right there. All we need to do is be still, be quiet, and to listen for your guidance, and to listen for your voice, Lord, to listen for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Melissa, for that. And thank you all for joining us today. As I said earlier, if everything goes well, we plan on meeting back here next Sunday. I would ask that you keep an eye on the website for any updates, and as normal, we will send emails out if something changes, or we'll put something on our social media feeds. But we do look forward to joining back together next week. I pray that everyone has a safe and happy New Year's. At the end of service, there will be some slides that will show how you can partner with the work that we are doing here at St. Charles River Church with your tithes and your offerings. And often as we are coming to the end of the year, folks like to have a year-end gift. I can tell you, as you know, we sent an email out earlier this week about some challenges that we had financially. And as we face those challenges, as a church leadership, we just need to be still and to listen for God and to follow God. And He has provided for us in so many ways throughout this time. And we thank those of you who have partnered with us. And we just look forward to joining back together. And so I ask that you would look for those slides. And we do thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I pray that you all have a great day. Thank you very much.
Found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.